vacation. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Education Nation. I am your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and it's always so much fun and such a privilege to join you on Saturday mornings. And I'm joined in studio once again by the producer of Education Nation and co-host, Mark Durkin.
As always, good morning to you, Rebecca.
Good morning, and I hope everybody's got their second or third cup of coffee as they join us today, because we are going to look at the person, the history background, the achievements of our new education secretary, Betsy DeVos. Pretty interesting. Just this past Tuesday, Betsy DeVos was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to lead the Department of Education in President Trump's administration.
That's right, Rebecca. With DeVos being a staunch pro-school choice and voucher advocate, many of America's families are now encouraged to take seriously the real possibility of finding the right school fit. And we promote that quite a bit on Education Nation, that will meet their children's educational learning strengths and needs.
Yeah. In fact, we've just spent the last couple of shows dedicated to school choice.
All about school choice, yes.
And seeing how important it is, especially for inner city kids to have an opportunity, and the rural kids as well, that so many children are not getting in this day and age. So first, let's take a look at DeVos's history in the political and educational service realm. Betsy grew up Elizabeth Betsy Prince. She hails her mother as her greatest influence, having served as a public school teacher, which I find very interesting.
All started with that influence.
Absolutely. Yeah, really. I think that's really an important piece of her story. That gave her a front row seat to the education field and helped her become involved with politics as a student at Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then since then, she's had plenty of experience that's led to a variety of campaigns and party organizations, political action committees, etc. She married Dick DeVos, who was an Amway heir, and he eventually gave an unsuccessful run for the governor of Michigan in 2006. But despite the fact that he had a failed run, the DeVos's involvement in politics at the state level has been vast. And Betsy chaired the Michigan Republican Party on two different occasions. And then she also sat on the Republican National Committee.
And see, the mentioned acts of all these public services that we just discussed are just some of the actions that Betsy DeVos has taken, which point back, though, to the burden that her and her husband felt when their kids were small. While the DeVos's first child reached school age, they were able to send their children to the school of their choice, but were really moved at the lack of school choice opportunity for many around them.
Mm-hmm. We recognize that other parents were not able to make similar decisions about their children's education based on their income or the zip code in which they lived. When our oldest reached school age, we visited the Potter's House, a Christian school which serves many low-income families in my hometown. We saw the struggles and sacrifices many of these families faced when trying to choose the best educational option for their children. For me, this was not just an issue of public policy, but of national injustice. I committed to do something about it, and it's become my life's work. I applaud the great work of the Potter's House and its co-founder, John Boy, who is here with us today. He and his team of teachers are doing a great job. But here's the sad reality. In the past 28 years, the need and demand for these other options have grown unabated. I share President-elect Trump's view that it's time to shift the debate from what the system thinks is best for kids to what moms and dads want, expect, and deserve. Parents no longer believe that a one-size-fits-all model of learning meets the need of every child, and they know other options exist, whether magnet, virtual, charter, home, faith-based, or any other combination. Yet too many parents are denied access to the full range of options, choices that many of us here in this room have exercised for our own children. Why in 2017 are we still questioning parents' ability to exercise educational choice for their children? I'm a firm believer that parents should be empowered to choose the learning environment that's best for each of their individual children.
Now, did you hear what she said there as the bite was coming to a close? She said, many in this room have exercised for our own children.
Mm-hmm.
So why not the movement to actually expand that opportunity for those outside of the political realm?
Right. I find that really interesting, too, Mark, that it's very easy for people to decide that public schools and you know, even the failing public schools, I should really say, are fine for other people's kids,
right,
but not their own.
Right.
And in fact, you know, I even hearken back to when President Obama moved to Washington, D.C., and there was all this talk that maybe he would send his girls to the public schools because he was such an advocate of public schools and charter schools. And but what did he do? He chose to send them to the Friends School, which is, you know, a very expensive, exclusive private school, which I don't fault him for that.
Right.
But the frustration is that there are kids who don't have those opportunities and won't have those opportunities. And I'm even talking about schools that are $5,000 or $10,000 a year, not, you know, $30,000-$40,000 a year. They don't have that opportunity because they don't have the money to spend on a private education. So why should it be only for the haves and not the have-nots?
Right. And I think the biggest complaint that's come against Betsy DeVos in this whole process of nominating her is look at all the money that her and her husband have. Well, look at all the money that these politicians have as well.
Exactly.
It's the classic case of, you know, do as we say, but don't do as we do.
Right. Yep. And I could go on. We actually,
right.
That was a big discussion during the healthcare legislation, too, that they got to keep their own
right.
Very nice healthcare while everybody else had to suffer with the system. So this is not limited to education, this whole
that is true.
Trend, is it? Mm-hmm. Well, one thing for certain, the DeVoses have put their actions where their mouths are. When they talked about the Potter House and how that really helped them recognize that tuition sacrifice is a burden to many, and they began supporting the tuition of low-income families by, you know, helping people afford money or afford to pay for private schools when they otherwise couldn't have. So scholarship opportunities were a big way for them to help. Dick DeVos showed his commitment to school choice by running for and securing the election to the State Board of Education in Michigan in 1980. And then after her husband's election, Betsy started a foundation that gave scholarships to the low-income families, and the parents were finally able to finally have some choice.
Some choice.
Yes, that was wonderful. She knew that wouldn't be enough, though, and she started sat on two national charities, Children First America and American Education Reform Council, and they worked to expand educational choice through vouchers and tax credits. And while chair of the Michigan Republican Party, her influence expanded, and in 1993, she was able to help put through Michigan's first charter school bill. Unfortunately, in 2000, they were unsuccessful in bringing vouchers or credit tax credit scholarships either in 2000 in the state of Michigan. But she did continue to fight. And in 2000, in response to that defeat, they formed the PAC, Great Lakes Educational Project, which helps promote reform through the expansion of charter schools. And that has been very successful.
Yes, it has.
So,
why don't I go ahead and jump ahead real quick to 2010, because the call to take education reform nationally led to DeVos creating the American Federation for Children PAC. This is perhaps, you know, her biggest impact in the education field. It's achieved much success at the state level. In Florida, as of 2013, they enjoyed the nation's longest period of widespread educational choice at the time. Some 50,000 students were attending the school of their family's choice. And it didn't stop there. In Louisiana and Indiana, over the last couple of years, these two states passed programs between the two of them that have the potential to serve nearly 1 million students per year. And so this impact that was being felt at the AFC was so amazing that former Senator Joseph Lieberman He's the former vice presidential candidate back in 2000. He left the Senate in 13, and then he wanted to continue his work on education reform. He joined the board of the AFC. Mm-hmm. In fact, according to Lieberman, DeVos's AFC has empowered more than 400,000 lower-income families to place their children in schools where they were getting inadequate education. Because according to Lieberman, this is crucial because more than 1,200 high schools in America that serve 1.1 million students from mostly low-income families, they failed to graduate at least a third of their students, and some is more than half of their students. Hmm. And these low graduation rate high schools are located in both urban and rural areas. And the states that are most affected by these low graduation rates include New York, which has 199 schools, Georgia, 115 schools, California, 105 schools, and Alabama and Mississippi each having more than 50 schools. So these cry out for national education reform.
Yep. And as an AFC board member and a Democrat, Lieberman told senators at Betsy's confirmation hearing that many of these AFC state programs have been enacted with bipartisan support in their state legislatures.
So there's a willingness to work across the aisle.
Yep. That's a very important detail. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we return, we'll take a look at some of the concerns that are voiced by teachers' unions over the nomination of our new education secretary, Betsy DeVos. And are these concerns legitimate to the educational well-being of American children? We're going to discuss that when we come back. Stay tuned.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome back to Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. And we are talking about Betsy DeVos, our new education secretary. And we've highlighted at great length today her involvement and accomplishments of helping lower income families secure the education of their choice. And before we turn our attention to some of the objections or the worries, I wanted to also point out a detail, and that is that the GLEP group that she founded also was very much interested in accountability. And they felt that schools that were on the lowest performing 5% of schools in Detroit, if they were that way for three consecutive years, that they should be shut down. And that wasn't just general public schools. That was also that also went for charter schools.
Consistency.
Yep. And I think that's important to note because a lot of people are commenting on the fact that she is such a charter school proponent. And I think it's important to note that if she doesn't see that a charter school is performing, she would also be in favor of shutting down those schools as well.
Absolutely.
So,
the very best
detail
for students. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're going to change our or turn our attention now to some of the objections, as I mentioned earlier. So maybe, Mark, you can talk about American Federation of Teachers.
Yeah, a lot of the feedback that's been coming from teachers unions, it almost kind of gives you the impression that they're running scared a little bit. And the first teachers union we want to talk about is the American Federation of Teachers. As of 2014, this teachers union, I think they had close to 1.6 million members. And their president, her name is Randy Weingarten. And she's been dubbed one of the nation's most prominent progressive activists. So consider this quote that she made. She said, quote, "She," meaning DeVos, "has devoted millions to elect her friends and punish her enemies. And at every critical moment, she has tried to take the public out of public education." Weingarten, she also called DeVos a, quote, "billionaire with an agenda," end of quote. Well, you know, what is AFT doing behind the scenes, you may ask then? Mm-hmm. Well, in 2015, Randy Weingarten collected a salary of $497,000 from AFT. And during the 2014-2015 fiscal year, it's reported that the teachers union committed $37.6 million in political activity. So that was a $12.7 million increase from 2013. So again, you're talking about Betsy DeVos devoting millions. Well, what about what you're doing behind the scenes?
Yeah, exactly. You know, AFT endorsed for President Weingarten's good friend Hillary Clinton, and that actually angered many AFT members.
As it should.
And this has left hundreds of thousands of teachers stuck paying AFT, regardless of whether they agree. And this is an ongoing problem with unions anyway. We've actually had conversations about this and shows devoted to that problem, that there's a big segment of teachers and other workers who are required basically to pay their dues, even if they don't always agree with how it's being spent.
Especially in the political realm. If you weren't a supporter of Hillary Clinton and yet some of your dues are going to support her presidency, you're just sitting there with your mouth shut, not being able to do anything about it.
Well, and that's what that whole Rebecca Friedman case was all about.
In California.
Right. Yes. And sadly, with Justice Scalia having passed, it was a tied vote 4-4 on the Supreme Court. And
which upheld the lower court.
It upheld the lower court. And her point was, you know, they're paying money into unions and when they disagree. And of course, their argument back is, well, we're doing collective bargaining and you benefit from that collective bargaining. But her point in response was, yes, but even that I may not agree with how you would choose to
bargain.
Yes. So I thought that was an interesting take. But according to the Huffington Post article from earlier, or a Huffington Post article earlier this month, Weingarten was also quoted as saying that DeVos endangers a new and fragile bipartisan consensus on the federal government's role in education, which I still question that that's even true. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, the Constitution does not give the federal government the role and duty to superintend over education.
Article 10, Bill of Rights.
Right. And this issue has traditionally been held up by parents, local communities, and state governments. And this has been another point of contention that I have had also with education, especially with Common Core being so supported by the federal government. And then other objections held by Weingarten include DeVos, saying DeVos is the most anti-public education nominee in the history of the Department of Education. Says DeVos, she has a drive to privatize education that is demonstrably destructive to public schools and to the educational successes of all of our children. But really, what is best for the students? That should be at the heart of the backlash.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think, you know, if you hearken back to the two shows that we did in the last couple of weeks where we had Bonito on from Ascension and we had Houston White, and both of them were advocating for school choice. And both of them commented on the fact that this is really about individual kids.
Absolutely.
And sadly, I think the teachers' unions, and we're going to hear a clip in a little while, that demonstrates that the teachers' unions are not out for the kids.
Well, that's the thing. And it's about relationships, too, with these students. And we've heard that from both Benito and Houston. And, you know, how can large bloated bureaucracies really engage even in the relationship building aspect?
Right, right. And when you see schools not performing in the way they should be, then our only choice in order to help these kids is to give them a way out.
That's right.
And the only way out is to give them options.
That's right.
And as Houston said, parents know best. And it's so true that the parents know.
Yep, absolutely.
They know what their kids need the most. Yes.
Well, the other teachers' union that we're going to take a look at here real quickly is the National Education Association. Mm-hmm. And before we get into their background a little bit, I will mention that they have been reported as having sent 1 million emails opposing Betsy DeVos's nomination, with more than 40,000 calls to the Senate's office. Hmm. And their president, Lily Eskelson Garcia, in a statement responding to DeVos's nomination, said this, quote, and this is according to the NEA.org website, "Betsy DeVos's efforts over the years have done more to undermine public education than support students," end of quote. She also continued, "She has lobbied for failed schemes like vouchers, which take away funding and local control from public schools to fund private schools at taxpayers' expense." She also went on to say, "The NEA advocates for investing in smart strategies that we know help to improve the success of all of our students, including creating more opportunities and equity for students, classes small enough for one-on-one attention, modern textbooks, and a well-rounded curriculum for every student."
Hmm. You know, I hear these and it's full of so many sound bites and so many catchphrases. And, you know, it all sounds good on the outside. But let's take a look really at the success that we are seeing, especially now that we have Common Core and the disastrous effects that Common Core has had on the educational system in America is just appalling to me that there would be anyone that would defend that.
Right.
For what? We're not seeing it benefiting kids. Mm-hmm. The test scores are not improved. In fact, they've actually gone down. So does pouring money into failed efforts make any sense at all? I'd say no.
Wasted resources.
Wasted resources. You know, what do they say when you keep doing the same thing over and over with the same result? They call you crazy, right?
Insane.
So we hear a lot of these quotes from the large teachers' unions about the best interests of the students, but the NEAs and the national or the nation's former top education lawyer, Bob Shannon, painted a very different picture when he gave his farewell address to the union back in 2009. And we're going to listen to a quote that he gives at that farewell address.
And that brings me to my final and most important point, which is why, at least in my opinion, NEA and its affiliates are such effective advocates. Despite what some among us would like to believe, it is not because of our creative ideas. It is not because of the merit of our positions. It is not because we care about children, and it is not because we have a vision of a great public school for every child. NEA and its affiliates are effective advocates because we have power. And we have power because there are more than 3.2 million people who are willing to pay us hundreds of millions of dollars in dues each year because they believe that we are the unions that can most effectively represent them, the unions that can protect their rights and advance their interests as education employees. This is not to say that the concern of NEA and its affiliates with closing achievement gaps, reducing dropout rates, improving teacher quality, and the like are unimportant or inappropriate. To the contrary, these are the goals that guide the work we do. But they need not and must not be achieved at the expense of due process, employee rights, and collective bargaining. That simply is too high a price to pay.
Too high a price to pay.
So now we have it. What's really at stake for the teachers' unions is not the kids, not developing a public school system that serves all kids well, but it is the rights of the teachers. That is what he is saying right there, that is more important than how successful the program itself is. That, Mark, is why we are where we are today.
And that's why we do a show.
With a failing public system. And exactly.
Why
and
we do a show, yes, like Education,
yeah,
Nation.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it's time for another quick break. And when we return, we'll take a closer look at some of Education Secretary DeVos's positions on core issues in education. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Education Nation. In the remaining few minutes, we want to take a look specifically at Education Secretary Betsy DeVos's key policy endorsements.
So as we talk about school choice, we thought it'd be interesting to share a couple of moments that the Detroit News shared along in their op-ed section and also the Detroit Free Press. This is the DeVos's home state of Michigan. And they had some wonderful things to say about her work in the state of Michigan. In the Detroit News op-ed section, they praised DeVos's record of, quote, compassionate interest in the individual welfare of children, calling her, quote, a woman devoted to helping kids succeed regardless of their socioeconomic background, end of quote. And then the Detroit Free Press had said that in Michigan, DeVos's home state and the source of much of her advocacy, school choice is robust. 22% of Michigan students are taking advantage of school choice programs.
That is fantastic news, actually. Mm-hmm. And I know that we all know that she is a big proponent of school choice. And I do believe that that's one of the reasons why I have hope that she will be able to do some great things for this nation's education system. The other thing that she is going to be promoting is the voucher system. Mm-hmm. And she's backed them Across the country, actually, through some of her nonprofits. And President Trump has also suggested legislation to create major school voucher programs. In fact, he proposed $20 billion in federal money combined with $110 billion from the states, with the goal of giving the nation's poor students $12,000 each towards private school tuition. That would go a long way. I think about Liberty, and we our tuition is less than that. And so that would be a wonderful gift for kids to be able to attend that school and others like it across the state and nation. And then as of 2017, only 14 states and D.C. currently have voucher programs. And then there are 61 programs at the state and district level. And as I mentioned earlier, DeVos helped co-found an American Federation of Children, and this organization did give Trump advice on his voucher plan, and they have poured $4.5 million in 243 races to voucher-friendly states.
Now, see, this is the thing. You know, she gets criticized of not knowing how to run an organization, that she's just good with children and being compassionate. I mean, look at all of the different organizations that she has served with, okay? And she has, you know, people that are sitting on these boards, and they have a large amount of money that they're allocating to different states and to different places. And so in different races in the friendly, you know, the voucher friendly states. So she is navigating. She is allocating. She shows that she knows how to run an organization to bring growth to school choice. So I don't see what the big deal is.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that that's an easy excuse because they don't like her ideas. If you look at the fact that she has served as chairperson of several of the boards, I think chairman of the Michigan Republican Party, she's no management slouch. If she's serving as a chair of these boards, I mean, these are, many of them are national boards, and I'm sure that strategy and management and that type of thing are things that come naturally to her, or she's been able to exercise over the course of the years in serving in these roles. So yeah, I really do believe that the number one argument against her is just simply that she is going to do the opposite of what the teachers union wants, and that is she is going to push through school choice. And I think they fear that she is going to be so effective because she's demonstrated effectiveness that they then point to something that is the complete falsehood, and that is that, oh, she's just a mom and she's just compassionate and she's not political. And well, you know what? She's all of those things and a lot more.
Well, when you consider, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul inner schools have a graduation rate in their high schools of less than 50%. I mean, at the end of the day, teachers' unions and public schools need to know this. It's going to force competition.
Right.
It's going to force you to up your game, because people are going to be looking and they're going to feel emboldened now to look for other options that are going to benefit and meet their children's education.
That
needs.
Is precisely correct. And when you look at schools out in Massachusetts, where the private school sector is a lot stronger, we're able to see that the public schools also rise up because of that competition. So you're exactly right on bringing that up, Mark. That's an important detail. And we do hope that Betsy DeVos will kind of help us shut down the Common Core movement.
Yes.
And that the jury is still out on that so far. But we hope that you gained a lot of insight into our new Education Secretary today.
Lots of information, but we certainly felt like it was pertinent.
Yes, it was. And so you can always check out our podcasts at iTunes or on Education Nation on our Facebook page. You can also go to Liberty Classical Academy's website under our media. And also, I want to point out that we're holding an all-access tour on February 22nd from 8:30 to 9:30 in the morning at Liberty Classical Academy. It's a great way to find out what we're doing. You do not need to be a prospective family to come. But check us out and see what we're doing and see why school choice is so valuable, because we can give those opportunities to more and more kids. Join us next week at Education Nation.